Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, and particularly, of course, in Great Britain, but also to welcome to the show four exciting and stimulating players who are going to pit their wits, their ingenuity, and their verbal dexterity against each other as they try and speak for just a minute on the subject that I give them, and doing that also without hesitation, repetition, and deviation. So in no order of seniority, would you please welcome Paul Merton, Steve Frost, Clement Freud, and Lisa Tarbuck. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who is going to help me keep the stopwatch going and also blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, in the heart of that great throbbing city of London. As we begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is how to get rid of hiccups. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The hiccups live in Ashby de la Zouche. A really nice family. There is Daddy Hiccup and Mummy Hiccups and the little hiccups, eight of them, five boys and three girls. And if you want to get rid of them, a very good idea would be to shoot them, but you could hang them or set a swarm of killer bees at them, which is extremely helpful in the getting rid of sticks. The hiccups spell their name H-I-C-K-O-U-G, then the first letter again, S, which is an extraordinarily stupid way of alphabetic use.
Paul Merton has challenged.
Was there a hesitation there?
No, there wasn't a hesitation, but he was struggling there a bit and getting utterly devious. But anyway, 19 seconds. Clement, I consider that incorrect challenge, so you have a point for that, and you keep the subject of how to get rid of hiccups. 19 seconds, starting now.
The hiccups are extraordinarily boring, which is why so many folk want to get rid of them. I have suggested...
Steve Frost challenge.
Repetition of rid.
Yes, you were trying to get rid of them before.
No, it's on the card.
You're allowed... Sorry, Steve, I know you haven't played the game as much as others. You're allowed to repeat
a phrase... It was a stupid mistake.
No, it wasn't a stupid mistake.
It was a stupid mistake.
A natural mistake. You can repeat any word individually on the card or not. So,
Clement,
another incorrect challenge, another point to you. 12 seconds. Tell us more about this ridiculous subject, starting now.
A hiccup is something that happens in your throat.
Steve Frost challenge.
Repetition of hiccup.
That's on the card.
That's on the card. I'll get that. Right, I see. Right.
You're helping Clement get lots of points.
Right, okay. Right. Good.
You have played the game enough to know that.
I've got it now.
10 seconds. Clement, having got another point, how to get rid of hiccups, starting now.
In Leicestershire, hiccups are quite common. They happen to you when you look at cinemas or theatres.
Paul Merton challenge.
This is deviation. How do you get hiccups looking at cinemas and theatres? Absolute rubbish.
How do you get hiccups?
You get hiccups by swallowing food the wrong way. You don't get to looking at a cinema.
Not necessarily.
I've actually got a very good cure for hiccups. Me too. Well, so far you've said you should shoot them. Shoot them or hang them. What are people in China going to do? People having a bit of chow mein, hiccups, are going to shoot and hang themselves. It's an outrageous suggestion.
Paul, don't worry, I'm with you. It is a devious thought. You have got the subject, and Clement has lost it at last. And there are 2 seconds to go on how to get rid of hiccups, Paul, starting now.
A foolproof method of getting rid of hiccups is...
Tell us your foolproof way.
Well, it's Andy Smart. Me and Steve know. Andy Smart. If you've got bad hiccups, if you recite to out loud what you had for breakfast that morning, it almost invariably works. If you sort of, you know, if you start getting hiccups and just say, well, I had liver, you'd be surprised. 9 times it stops hiccups. I don't know how or why, but it does.
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went. He gained that extra point for doing so, because whoever does that when the whistle goes gets that extra point, and he's equal with Clement Freud in the lead. Steve Frost, your turn to begin. The subject is, I'm a bit nervous of this one, Old Nick. 60 seconds, starting now.
Old Nick, of course, another way of saying the devil. Does he exist? And if so, Is he wearing...
Paul Merton Chalmers.
Bit of a hesitation. Yeah.
There was a hesitation, I'm afraid, Steve, yes. So Paul Merton has got old Nick, and he's got 55 seconds starting now.
I know Nicholas is a bit sensitive about his age, but wouldn't you be if you were 96? It's one of the most extraordinary careers in broadcasting that's ever happened, really. When he talks about being at the coronation of the dear old Queen, he's talking about Victoria. And what a wonderful sight it was as her and Albert walked down the aisle. Of course, her husband, whose surname was Memorial Hall, was a wonderful individual. They had a great marriage.
Steve Challenge.
There were two wonderfuls, I think. Reverend
there were two wonderfuls.
Was there?
Yes, yes there was wonderful. Indeed. Yes. Uh-huh. I'd have given it against you anyway. Well,
would
who
you?
Would judge? 32 seconds, Steve. Tell us something more about old Nick starting now.
Beelzebub is another name for old Nick, which I don't quite understand because it doesn't actually sound as if he's an evil sort of person. Old Nick does sound nasty. He's like someone who steals antiques in my book, which, of course, I haven't written yet, but when I do...
Lisa, you've challenged.
Hesitation?
No, repetition.
Repetition. You know, you can sit here and listen for a while.
That's right, repetition of sounds. Well, Lisa writes it. You have 18 seconds. You've got another point, of course, for a correct challenge, and you have old Nick starting now.
Well, my compadre here, Steve, has been going on about old Nick being a devil. I thought that old Nick was something to do with Father Christmas. So it shows what kind of Xmases we have in...
Paul Challenge.
Xmases?
Xmases, yes. I don't know where you've been around the festive season, but haven't you ever seen... on hoardings and so forth.
No, you're thinking of Exorcist. It was a film with a... that was the devil.
Sometimes
Exorcist.
People abbreviate Christmas into X-mass.
Do they?
They do.
And how long has that been going on?
Ever since you were a little boy.
2001 years, really. I should get out more. I really should.
Lisa, an incorrect challenge. You have a point for that, of course. You keep the subject. You have old Nick. You have 6 seconds starting now.
Old Nick, of course, if we are going to...
Clemerfoy challenge.
We've had, of course.
Oh, you did say, of course, the last, yes.
You will with me. Thank you very much, Lisa. It's hard, you know.
I've never heard such a melodious moan in my life.
Oh, Nicholas, you must have done, surely.
I don't know why you clap him. I mean, he's absolutely wicked. But you know I will laugh against myself, but there we are. That's what the job is all about, isn't it? Who challenged? It was, of course, Clement Freud. 4 seconds, old Nick, starting now.
Of course, old Nick is often thought to be another name...
So Clement Freud was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and he's now increased his lead ahead of Paul Merton in that round, then Lisa Tarbuck and Steve Frost in that order. Lisa, it's your turn to begin. The subject is worms. Tell us something about worms in just a minute, starting now.
My mother said when I was young, if you didn't have worms, you'd never lived, which was interesting coming from her. Because she's actually terrified of them.
Oh, but you challenged.
I think this is a philosophy I would like to distance myself from.
I know. Poor mum.
Worms and nits.
How will she recover from it? How did you get your worms, by the way?
I don't know. If you'd listened to my grandmother from eating dog's bones or something, which of course I haven't done. Yes. I don't know. It was virulent.
I think I got them once from eating snails in the garden. But anyway. So what's your challenge, Paul, within the rules of just a minute?
Well, I think it's deviation to say that unless you've had worms, you haven't lived.
Yeah, I think it probably is, yes. In spite of what Lisa's mother said. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much.
Just because you've had worms...
No, wait a minute. I rethought that because, on the other hand, Lisa's mother can say that... But it doesn't mean to say, and it may be a devious thought, but she can still say it, and Lisa can repeat what her mother said, so she hasn't deviated. Hooray!
I love
it. So, Lisa, you still have worms. I'm sorry.
That's why I'm fidgeting.
You're right. And you have 51 seconds starting now.
Another word for a worm, of course, is an invertebrate. The useful thing about it is you get more for your money because if you cut one in half with a spade or with scissors, if you're that way inclined, they then form into two separate worms and then go about aerating your garden soil. I remember having to dissect a worm in class in 1978, which was the Queen's Silver Jubilee, and we painted ours...
Paul Challenge.
Well, no, the Queen's Silver Jubilee was 1977.
Oh, no!
You're
which
right,
queen?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes, right.
So it's deviation.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Hmm. Which queen are we talking about?
Here? Right, four. Correct challenge. 30 seconds. You tell us something about worms starting now.
If you serve somebody a worm upside down, it means I love you. And there couldn't be a fonder thing you can do for another human being. Worms are quite useful in the garden. They do.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, you've forgotten what they do. 19 seconds, worms with you, Clement, starting now.
Worms is a town in Hesse, which is the centre of the viticultural equipment industry.
Paul challenge.
I disagree. I don't think it is.
It is, actually.
Well, I don't know, I was just hoping that nobody else knew.
Clement, you have another point on the subject. 11 seconds, worms starting now.
Lugworms. Probably not.
Paul challenge.
That was a hesitation.
That was a hesitation. Paul, you've got worms again. I'm so sorry. This is a difficult subject. You've got the subject of worms. You have 9 seconds starting now.
I suppose it will come to...
Clement challenge.
You supposed previously.
You did say suppose.
Did
previously. Yes, you did.
Not
I remember
like
now.
Me.
8 seconds, Clement. Worms are starting now.
The diet of worms is something you learn at school, although... Presently.
Lisa, challenge.
Hesitation.
That was hesitation, Lisa. I love the way you challenge.
It's so hard to get in, it really is.
I know, you challenge and you burst out with laughter. It's great.
I'm just excitable.
I know. 3 seconds. Tell us something about worms, Lisa, starting now.
Your tapeworm is an interesting creature with a hook on its head.
So Lisa Tarbuck, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And with others in the round, she has leapt forward. And she's now equal with Paul Merton in second place, just a point or two behind Clement Freud, our leader. And Steve Frost is trailing them all just a little. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is sleeping policemen. Sleeping policemen, starting now.
Well, it's what they call those lumps in the road. Traffic calming exercises, I suppose they are, where the cars can't go as fast as they normally would down side streets that may be near schools or in quiet residential areas. I don't know where the phrase or description sleeping policeman originates from. It's quite a witty remark, I suppose, but...
Clement Freud challenge.
He's supposing again.
Repetition. No, I don't think he said suppose earlier
he
on
did,
in this
actually.
Round.
It's got nothing to do with you. They're making decisions for you there, Nicholas.
Clement, correct challenge. 38 seconds. Sleeping policemen starting now.
I think sleeping policemen were probably invented by manufacturers of vehicles because when you go over a sleeping policeman, it does such harm to your front axle and that at the back. The suspension is deviously...
Paul Merton Jones.
Hesitation.
That was
right.
A hesitation. A sleeping policeman is back with you, Paul. You have 23 seconds starting now.
The great train robbery happened in 1963, and a lot of people said at the time that the policemen were sleeping on the job. They should have been aware that this huge vast of money was being transported.
Steve Frost, challenge.
Huge vast of money, I think he said, didn't he?
It was in a huge vast, the money.
Oh, sorry.
It's so a train carriage.
Your challenge is
train
deviation from English as we understand it and normally speak it.
That's exactly my
All
point.
Right, Steve, we'll give it to you. We'll give you a point and 12 seconds on a sleeping policeman starting now.
Never, ever wake up a sleeping policeman because he might hit you on your head with his truncheon, which he keeps down by...
Paul Merton challenge.
Truncheon?
Truncheon. I think if you're going to have him on the other pronunciation, I've got to give it back to him on your pronunciation. So, Paul, you have it back. 5 seconds. Sleeping policeman starting now.
If you're an avid reader of the Noddy stories, you will remember P.C. Plod falling asleep on the occasion.
So, Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went and with other points in the round, has leapt forward. He's now equal with Clement Freud in the lead, followed by Lisa Tarbuck and Steve Frost in that order. And, Clement, it is your turn to begin. The subject is... health food. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Health food is one of the great growth industries at the moment. Go down any road or street or mews or crescent, and you will find health food emporium.
Steve, you challenge.
Deviation, you can't go down a crescent, you go round it.
Steve, I think it's an excellent thought, but I don't think it really, within the rules of justice, it was deviating. Right. So I won't charge any points on that.
Okay.
And say Clement keeps the subject. 49 seconds, health food starting now.
Tofu.
Steve, challenge.
Hesitation.
You've got it. Right. Health food, 48 seconds with you, Steve, starting now.
I was walking down this crescent the other day and I saw a health food shop. Went straight in and decided to buy one of those little wiggly-waggly things you see on the side of roads which don't normally get eaten by human beings. It was, of course, a licorice stick that had been dipped in very warm jelly. This apparently makes you live longer, healthier, and gives you lots of hair. Didn't work for me, but at least I paid decent money for it and got satisfaction from the taste and flavour. Although there was no nutritious value in the aforementioned thing, it made me feel like $1 million. Therefore, it was a health food to me. I went back and bought a whole box full of these things and sent them...
Poor man, Charlie.
Well, this is just rubbish, isn't it? Licorice dipped in warm jelly.
You mean to say you've never spoken rubbish on Just a Minute?
Never. Every word I say is true.
So what are you having him from? Deviation?
Well, he said it wasn't very good for him, so it can't be health foods. Deviation.
Ah, no, I would have given it to you on the fact that it was devious, the subject was devious. No, it could be. He could have believed it did him a lot of good.
That's the point I was making.
Oh,
yes,
no,
it was the point I was making, yes. So health food is still with you, Steve. Another point. 6 seconds starting now.
If you take a packet of cornflakes and tear up all the cornflakes and put them...
What, stupid? Poor challenge.
6 seconds and I said cornflakes.
Yes, cornflakes. And you've got him with 1 second to go, Paul. And you have the subject, health food, repetition of cornflakes, starting now.
Cornflakes.
So Paul Merton's still in the lead, but Steve Frost got points in the round, so he's moved forward. He's now equal. He's a tie book in third place. And Steve, your turn to begin. The subject is parking the car. We've got a lot of motoring subjects in the show, but talk on that one, starting now.
Pull up parallel to the car in front. Look in the rear view mirror. Handbrake on. Over your shoulder, take a quick glance. Take the aforementioned advice.
Lisa, you challenge.
Take, two takes.
There were two takes, yeah. And I would have had him for deviation too if you hadn't had it before, because how can you park the car with the handbrake on?
I've done that. It took me a while, but I did it. Occasionally I just
Lisa,
leave the car.
Anyway, you've got a correct challenge
Thank
on the other one, on repetition. Parking the cars with you, starting now.
Parking the car is becoming increasingly difficult as councils seem to be putting up stupid permit allowances, which is allowing them, thank you very much, to get free money off of us. The council... oh, I was cross as
Paul.
Well.
So, hesitation. It was a hesitation, yes.
After repetition of counsel.
Yes. Sometimes if you keep going with style, they'll overlook your indiscretions. But on this occasion, he picked you up and Paul has got the subject of parking the car. 37 seconds available, starting now.
It was much easier to park your car in 1906 when there were only 35 such vehicles in the British Isles. In those days, all you had to do was just leave it and get out, and it was considered parked by the police, who weren't sleeping and were very much on the job. But I have parked many cars in my brief foray as a motorist. I passed my driving test in 1995, and I was very pleased to do so first time, and since then, I haven't actually owned many motor vehicles, but the ones that I have purchased and driven have been great fun. The way that I park a car is to first of all make sure that I'm in it.
So Paul Merton's dissertation then, he kept going to the whistle when gained an extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Lisa, it's your turn to begin. Cellulite.
Oh, how kind.
That is the subject. I don't know why it's been chosen for you, but talk on it if you can, starting
I'll show you later.
Now.
Right.
60 seconds, Lisa, starting now.
Cellulite is the ugly fat that lurks beneath the skin, normally to the rear of a person. Men and women can get cellulite. It looks a sort of like a mountain range, but from a distance, if you see what I mean. Sort of a ranch-type style stuff that you can affix, rather like a conservatory, to the back of your thigh and jog round with it so that it dribbles over your knee. It's not attractive, but I'm sure warmed up and jiggled with the right amount of alcohol down your throat, it could be something of a spectacular occurrence somewhere in the middle of Crewe. I'm now waffling on about cellulite because I don't know that much about it. Obviously, now I'm going to claim that I've never seen it before in my life, but in women's changing rooms I have seen it, and I've eyed it quite scarily, quite ruefully. And it's something that just occurs to you maybe in your late 30s. I don't know. Maybe it comes earlier. Maybe people are blessed with orange skin, peels...
Well done, Lisa. I have to say, because I do get letters from avid listeners of the show, we all knew that she repeated one or two things, but we enjoyed it so much, we just let her go with style and panache. And you actually went from the start to finish, 60 seconds, so you not only get a point for speaking as the whistle went, you get a bonus point, because you were not interrupted. And you're now 1 point behind Clement Freud, but a half a dozen points behind our leader, who is still Paul Merton. And Clement, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is Happy Hour. Tell us something about Happy Hour in just a minute, starting now.
Happy Hour is there to cheer you up. If you should be chronically depressed, there is a new pill on the market, which you don't swallow, but you throw it at people who look happy.
Paul Merton challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation. Yes, he waited for his laugh, he got it, and thought that was enough. Right. So, 47 seconds. Happy hour with you, Paul, starting now.
Whenever I listen to Just a Minute, that's a happy half hour, and sometimes I listen to two programmes, which makes a beautiful happy hour. I listen to the voice of Clement Freud. Who can help but smile when they hear his wonderful, cheery tones coming across the airwaves? Every hour in his company is surely a happy hour. As he gaily walks around, he does the show in the nude, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you're aware of that. And it's a beautiful... He is one of his country's leading naturists. So if you're in India or China listening to this show go out, just picture him now in the nude, his great nuts resting...
Sorry, you like the nudity, obviously, right. Clement, you challenged.
Nude.
Yes, right. There was too much nudity.
Too much nudity.
Yes. But the audience enjoyed it. 16 seconds, Clement. Happy hour with you starting now.
It seems to me terribly unfair that bars should say happy hour... drinks at half price, because no way is it 50% of the cost of a beverage. Only less than...
Steve Frost, you
hesitation, can't. I'm afraid.
There was a hesitation, yeah. Yes. Steve, you got in with 2 seconds to go on the subject of happy hour starting now.
The wonderful thing about happy hours in bars is that...
So, Steve Frost, speaking of Russell Wend, got a point. He's now equal. Lisa Tarbuck in third place. They're trailing Clement, and he's just 3 points behind our leader, Paul Merton. So, Lisa, it's your turn to begin. Selling out is the subject. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Selling out could, of course, refer to produce in a shop of which you have none left. Or, of course, it could refer to a level of integrity that you have forgotten about or disposed about because of acquiring some money for some sort of service or some such. Selling out. I wonder whether selling out could always be described as a despicable thing. Would one refer to Jeffrey's Archer's mate who sold out as being a dreadful thing? I don't know. Would somebody say that selling out of a product... Oh, thank you.
Steve Frost, you're jealous.
Repetition of somebody.
Yes, somebody's there.
Time.
So, Steve... You have selling out, and you have 29 seconds starting now.
I'm used to selling out every time I do my one-man show, because all the tickets get bought, the people come and see it and laugh, and they come back the next time I do it again, which is in the same night, because you make more money that way. This is called selling out in both aspects of...
Paul, you challenge.
Well, he slowed right down, didn't he?
Yes, he did. We interpret that as hesitation. So, Paul, you have 13 seconds to tell us something about selling out starting now.
Of course you can do both. You can sell out and be sold out, as in you are selling out.
Steve, challenge.
I'm going to go for hesitation.
You will get it on hesitation. Really? You have 9 seconds. The subject back. Selling out starting now. And
Paul, hesitation.
Hesitation. You've got it back again, Paul. And you've got 7 seconds on selling out, starting now.
I did a 2-week season at the London Palladium in 1995, and I'm very pleased to say that we didn't sell out.
So Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and no others in the round. He's moved forward, he's in a strong lead. So we're into the final round, and Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is paying through the nose. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
It's said that the Danes in 9th century Ireland, they were occupying that country at the time, imposed a poll tax that was very unpopular. And if you didn't come up with the goods, then your nose was split in the middle. And this was an indication to other citizens of that fair isle that it wasn't a good idea not to pay. And the Danes took this. Danes twice.
Steve challenged.
Danes
twice.
Yes, that's
yeah.
right. 40
interesting
seconds.
Interesting, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, very interesting, yeah.
Was it true?
It is true, yeah. Well, yeah. I think so, yeah.
You say it with such conviction, we yeah. believe you. Right, Steve, there are 40 seconds. You tell us something about paying through the nose starting now.
Here you are, mate. Here's 25 quid. That's what it would sound like, obviously, if you paid through the nose. So not many people do it nowadays. You can pay through the ear, but that you can't hear what price the product is that you're buying. So again, if you did put the money up your nose, good place to keep loose change, because the coins keep the nasal passages open, yet blocking them at the same time.
Have you used one challenge. Of those currency... You've been challenged, Steve.
Oh.
Yes.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Deviation, the yes. lot, I think, saying that. Coins up the nose, you sneeze them out on the counter, do you? Right.
I suppose it's lucky they were up the nose.
Yeah, I don't think we'll pursue that idea for you. Paul, you have 19 seconds, paying through the nose, starting now.
You have to be very careful if you walk up and down Oxford Street, because you have charlatans who hire empty stores and they decide that they're going to sell you all kinds of things like clock radios or cassette recorders, and they have people around them who have bid for these items. You think, oh, that's quite cheap. But when you actually...
So, Paul Merton... Well, speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so with others in the round, he's increased his lead. Let me give you the final situation. Steve Frost, who has not played the game as much as the other two, played a bit more than Lisa, but he finished in a very strong fourth place, very strong. And Lisa finished in an excellent third place. Oh, excellent. Marvellous. Clement Freud was in a magnificent second place and in a... Getting a round of applause for each one of them, aren't I? And an outstanding first place was Paul Merton. You're the winner this week, Paul. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four talented players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Lisa Tarbuck, and Steve Frost. I also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me with the watch and also playing her whistle so well. And also we thank our director, Jones, and we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we're very grateful to our audience here in the radio theatre who've cheered us on our way so magnificently with such warmth and feeling. Our audience, from the panel and from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye until we take to the air once more and play Just a Minute.
And at the same time next week, Just a Minute will be coming from Cardiff, where Nicholas Parsons is joined by Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Graham Norton, and Linda Smith.